Acts chapter 2, if you're ready for the word, shout, I'm ready. So we are a Pentecostal church. And when I say we're a Pentecostal church, people think that that's a denomination. There's a lot of churches that are a part of Pentecostal organizations, but they're not Pentecostal. Pentecost is not a denomination, it's an experience. It's an atmosphere, it's a power that comes from the Holy Spirit. My dad used to say this, people would say, what would you be if you wasn't Pentecostal? And my dad would say, I'd be ashamed of myself. Come on, somebody. Because all of this power is available. And how many of you want that power in your life? And you, how many of you appreciate the power that's in this church? Did you know last Sunday we had hundreds of people filled with the Holy Spirit across our campuses? And this last Thursday night I was preaching a men's conference in Tennessee and had over 110 men baptized in the Holy Spirit at that conference. So this is real. This is my great priority. And I'm doing a series called Aftershocks. Somebody say aftershocks. What it is, it's fault line faith. Now, what happened in Acts 2, that was the earthquake, that was the shaking, that was the outpouring. Everything after that is aftershocks. Everything that happens is linked. We right here today, what you have seen happen today is linked all the way back to that upper room on Pentecost Sunday. And what you've got to understand is that there my microphone is. I don't know what happened, but praise the Lord for it. Can y'all hear me? All right. Can you hear me? All right. So what happened 2,000 years ago was not a one and done. It didn't just happen and it's over. We're walking in that power today. And today, aftershocks happen at the fault line. So I would say to you today, welcome to the Florida fault line. Come on, somebody. So here we are in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. I don't read where it fully went. When the Holy Ghost came, he didn't make a cameo appearance. He came to stay. It says they were all with one accord in one place. The place there, it's the Greek word epi. It's linked to our English word epicenter. That's the epicenter of an earthquake. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now I want you to look at Acts 4. Now what's happened in Acts 3, they've had a miracle. They had a lame man that sat in the gate called Beautiful at the entrance to the temple. He's been healed and he has been lame for 40 years. And he sat at that gate every day and he got healed and it was supernatural. And the religious elite got threatened and they began to threaten the people of God in chapter 4, and I'm going to pick up here at verse 13. And here's what they said. When these religious people saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. You missed a good place to shout right there. They've been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed, that notable miracle has been done through them, and it is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. I declare that God's about to do some things in your life that even heathen folk can't deny that God is at work. All right. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely, watch this, threaten them. Let us threaten them. That from now on they speak no to no man in this name. In this name. In what name are they talking about? The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then at verse 23, and being let go, they finally released them after they threatened them. They went to their own companions. They found their people. Come on. I'm glad I'm in the room today with my people. And they reported all the chief priests. They reported to all the chief priests and the elders and all that they had said to them. So when they heard it, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by your mouth, by the mouth of your servant David, have said, why do the nations rage and why do people plot vain things? Skip down, if you will, to verse 27. For truly, that against your Holy Spirit, servant Jesus. That's who they've spoken against, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, watch, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before it was done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Look at what they're saying to us and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal. Come on, say, Holy Spirit, just have your way. Lord, stretch out your hand to heal today. Let there be signs and wonders done through that name that the world despises. Come on, through your holy servant Jesus. And then here's what happened. They were at a fault line. There was an aftershock. And when they prayed, the place they were assembled at the fault line, there was an aftershock. And they were assembled together, and that place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. How many of you are glad to be at a fault line today? I don't even know if you realize where you are. I dare somebody to thank God that you are at a fault line church. You're at a church that built, we built this thing for the aftershocks of the Holy Spirit. So I want to teach today and in the coming weeks about aftershocks. What do we do after Pentecost? Slip up your hands, precious, if you want to get in this oil. Father, anoint Jim Raley. I need it. I love you. It's all for you. In Jesus' name. If you believe that Pentecost is not over, make a little noise in the room right now. All right, you can be seated. I'm going to talk to you today about aftershocks. It started in Acts 2, but it didn't finish in Acts 2. And I want to talk to you about the epicenter. The word epicenter comes from the Greek. If you look at the word place in the Bible, it's linked to the word epicenter because place is actually epi, in the Greek in Acts 2. The Bible said they were in one place. That means at the highest point, it's the place of maximum impact. I have no desire in pastoring a church that doesn't know the maximum impact of the power of God. I'm uninterested in being ritualistic. I could care less what people say about us being a spirit-filled church. Once you've been in the fire, the smoke won't do. Can I get a witness in the house? The Bible tells us that this happened in Acts chapter 2, and it happened at the epicenter. And when scientists try to identify an epicenter of an earthquake, they're identifying the place where the shaking began. They're identifying the place where the shaking started. So it started in Acts 2. Everything is measured from that point on. That's an aftershock. Now watch this. Acts 2:1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in all in one accord, in one place. Somebody say epi. It is the word epicenter. So everything is an outflow of what happened in Acts 2. They were all gathered in the epicenter on Pentecost 2,000 years ago before they even knew that the earthquake was coming. And then suddenly, heaven shook. Suddenly, fire fell. Suddenly, the wind came. Suddenly, there was an outpouring. The whole house shook. 120 right away were filled with the Holy Spirit. They walked out of that upper room endued with power from on high. They were speaking languages, y'all, that they had never even learned. And Jerusalem shook that day because that upper room shook. And Acts 2 was the epicenter. And everything that followed Acts 2 is the aftershocks. Every miracle in Acts was an aftershock. Every prison opened, every city shaken, every dead person raised, every call to the ministry, every soul swept into the kingdom, it was an aftershock. All of it was an aftershock of what happened in that upper room 2,000 years ago in the initial earthquake. And everything since then is linked to that upper room. everything. I'm telling you, there's nothing in the spirit realm that has the supernatural touch on it that's not linked to that upper room. Even 120 years ago at the Azusa Street outpouring, where the power of God hit Azusa Street and revival has swept through America, that Azusa Street outpouring is linked all the way back to that shaking in the upper room. So here they are in Acts 2, and they have the initial shaking. In Acts 3, they see miracles and they are threatened. And then they find themselves in Acts 4, and they need to experience that power again. You find those same people from Acts 2 who've already been filled, already been baptized with fire. They have already been eyewitnesses of 3,000 souls being saved in one morning. Now they're being threatened. Now they're being arrested. Now they're being silenced. 5,000 men after that, just men, after that initial miracle at the gate called Beautiful, claimed Jesus as their Messiah. And the religious leaders begin to panic and they say, calm it down. It's time for you guys to disappear. No more preaching in that name. The shaking is over. It's time for you to be quiet. And what did these people do? They went straight back to the fault line. They went straight back to where the shaking manifested, and they said, God, do it again. They didn't run from the shaking. They ran toward it. See, in the natural world, people never build their houses near a fault line. They always stay away from the fault line. If they know that there's a fault line, say in California, nobody will build their businesses or their houses on the fault line. They do their best to stay away from it. They don't want to be around the shaking. In fact, they want to be as far from it as possible. And what's true in the natural is often true in the spiritual. In the natural, people try to build their house away from the fault line. And we've got so many churches now and so many atmospheres where they don't want atmospheres and environment where the Holy Spirit shows up and actually shakes the house. But I would say to you today, precious, that we are a church that's building as close to the fault line as we can build. We want God to shake us again. We don't want to come to church and it be quiet and contained and casual and cute, but we want a place where cancer shakes out of somebody's body. We want a place where addiction shakes off of our children. We want a place where depression has to shake out of the house. We don't run from the shaking. We don't run from the move. We don't run from the power of God. We run to it. God showed up in Acts 2, and then there was an aftershock in Acts 4, and then everything that followed that was an aftershock. What happened last Sunday when hundreds of people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was an aftershock. What happened Thursday night was an aftershock. What you felt on this stage when those young people were singing and you felt the anointing and the power of God, that was an aftershock. I stopped by to ask somebody here today, are you still a fault line people? Are you still a people that want the power of the Holy Spirit? If you're unwilling to do without that, open up your mouth and give God praise. So I'm going to unpack this thing, and I need you to stay with me. I'm going to teach this Bible today. And we may shout at the end, but I want you to open your heart. If you're ready, just open your heart and say, I receive. Okay, what happens in Acts 2 is the initial outpouring. In Acts 3, there are miracles. But then in Acts 4, they've been threatened, and they go back to that place, to that fault line. And the enemy, the religious elite, threaten the church that's filled with the power of God. And the first thing I want to show you is this. Number one, the world is always threatened by what it cannot explain but cannot deny. The world will always be threatened by what it cannot explain and what it cannot deny. Now, you need to hang with me. To understand Acts 4, we probably need to do a little bit of a deep dive into Acts 3. Peter and John are coming for prayer, and it's an afternoon prayer, and they're coming through the gate called Beautiful. And as they're coming, precious, through that gate called Beautiful, they encounter a man who has been lame for 40 years. He had spent his entire life lame. He has laid at the temple every day, and there at that temple, he begs for alms. There at that temple, he cries out for people to give him money. And he sat at the entrance of the temple begging. He was known. People knew that he was always there. And Peter and John come by, and he says, money, will you give me some money? And Peter looks at him, and he says in Acts 3:6, he said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. He says here, in essence, silver and gold and money and resources I don't have. I don't have any money in the Jerusalem First National Bank. I don't have any stocks. I don't have any bonds. I don't have any annuities. I don't have any resources. I don't have a retirement account. I don't have a house. We've sold all of our houses and our possessions, and we made it all common, and now we're all living off of it together. I don't own anything. I'm not a doctor. I don't have a degree. I don't have the doctor with me today. Luke is back at the house. I got John with me. Come on, somebody. And me and John fish. I don't have the resources. I don't have the degree. I don't have any money. But what I do have, I can give to you. I have a name. I have a name that is high above every name. I have a name that when I speak it, demons tremble. I have a name that when I declare it, cancer can dry right up. I have a name that when I speak it, heaviness can jump right off of me, because that name is high above every name, that at the name of Jesus, oh, y'all don't want to help me preach, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. There is a name. He said, I don't have any of these conventional resources, but I do have a name. I wonder if there's anybody who still believes that there is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the nombre de Jesus. Can I get a witness up in here? There is power in the name of Jesus. He said in that moment, in the name of Jesus, then you can't miss this. In the name of Jesus, he said, rise up, get up, take up your bed and walk. And immediately that man rose up, and he didn't go to physical therapy. Come on now, y'all know how it works now. They tell you you need physical therapy, but you can't have it until July of 2027. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He didn't go to physical therapy. No, honey. The Bible said that he followed them into the temple. The problem is that lame folk were not allowed in the temple. They were on the outside looking in. But when he encountered the name of Jesus, suddenly what was off limits became accessible to him. So he didn't go, precious. He didn't go to physical therapy. He stood up and he starts walking, but he bypassed just walking. Then he starts leaping and he starts praising God. Let me tell you something. When God touches you, when you get that name working in your life, baby, he will accelerate things. He will cause you to be able to do things that you never thought you could be able to do. And in that moment, the whole city is filled with wonder. And watch this. Peter stands up right there, and he doesn't try to build himself a social media following. He doesn't say, you know, you can support my ministry now. Let me get my mailing list. No, he stands up right there and he preached Jesus. He started preaching Jesus crucified. He preached him risen. He preached him ascended. And he preached him coming again. He didn't take that moment to build himself up. Listen to me, preachers that watch me around the world. This is not our moment. This is his. These moments, this is not our stage. This is his. It's not our worship. It's his. Come on. Somebody right now that's glad to be in an environment where we know it's all about. It's all about the name. He preached Jesus. And listen, miracles and wonders are the calling card of heaven. The atmosphere today, signs and wonders, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Come on, it's a sign to the unbeliever. And I worry about churches who don't want that anymore, and they're holding the power of the Holy Spirit back. That's why they're not seeing anybody saved. It's a sign to the unbeliever. Now watch this. The religious elite began to threaten Peter and John in the early church, not because they did something wrong, but because they did something undeniable. Did you miss that or did you get it? The establishment couldn't argue with a healed man that was right in front of them. They could not argue with what just happened. And look at verse 16. What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that notable miracle has been done through them, and it is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. I came to tell somebody today, God still moves in ways that are undeniable. God still moves in ways that man can't take the credit for it. Look down your row and say, be encouraged today. Yes, I want to say today that I am believing God that he's going to move in this next season in ways that are undeniable. That doctors are going to scratch their head. That people who hated on you said you'd never make it. They're going to have to look at you and say, look what the Lord has done. It is those that rejected the Messiah that had to acknowledge there's something going on there that's undeniable. I am so ready to see things happen in such a way that even those that hate the church, even those that hate our message, even those that hate our King have to look at us and say, something is happening at Calvary. Something is happening in that church. Is there anybody here? You're a candidate for things to happen that you cannot even deny. If that's you, just open up your mouth and say, I'm ready. Come on. And here's what they do. These religious leaders commanded Peter and John not to speak at all anymore in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you what the devil hates. He hates the name of Jesus. Years ago, they asked me to come pray at this big event, and they said, we want you to come and pray, and thousands of people will be there, but we would ask you not to pray in the name of Jesus. They said, we want you to pray, but don't pray in the name of Jesus. That's like asking me to go to Hooligans and not eat chicken wings. They didn't understand that I don't pray till I attach the name of Jesus to it. It's all religion, but when I get that name that is above every name, honey, that's when I pray with power. They commanded Peter and John not to speak in the name of Jesus, and I want to tell you that the strategy of hell has never changed. When hell cannot disprove the power of God, when hell cannot disprove what God has done, he tries to shut down the proclamation of it. When hell can't disprove what God is doing, hell wants the name shut down. The world is still running that play today. They can't explain to transform lives. The enemy, he doesn't have enough power to explain how we are sitting here today. They can't deny what Calvary is seeing. We can't deny how good God has been to this church. We can't deny dream centers that have been supernaturally bought by the power of the living God, campuses, souls, salvations, young people on the stage, anointed, singing about the blood of Jesus. You can't argue with genuine revival, so they come after the name. They want us to be quiet in our nation. They want us not to preach that name anymore. They want us to be quiet about that name of Jesus. They want to marginalize the message, don't they? They want to pressure preachers not to preach truth. They want to shut us down. They tell the church to be quiet. They tell the church to stay in your lane. They tell the church in America, you need to keep it private. It's okay if you want to have church in your church, but don't take that name outside with you. Stop being so public about Jesus. But let me tell you, these are not the days when we're going to have a quiet, contained, and fit in church. We're not going to be a people that refuse to preach the truth. I will not cave to the perverted sexual agendas of the enemy. I will not be quiet about gender confusion, the life of the unborn, racism, division, and oppression. I have made up in my mind that there is still a name that can set the captive free. Be quiet if you want to, but I'm still talking about the name. Somebody give God praise if you still want to hear about the name. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Tell your neighbor, I still have a name. Come on, tell them. I still have a name. And tell that same neighbor, and I'm going to use it. Hallelujah to God. So here's what I know. The thread is still the same. And the answer must be the same. Refuse to back down. Listen, I haven't gone this far to back down now. If you want a back down preacher, you better find you one, because we ain't having one here, I'll tell you that. I want to ask you, how's the enemy been threatening you? How's he been threatening your life, threatening your family? How's he been threatening you in your mind? How's he been threatening you? And I want to tell you, if he's been threatening you, he needs to know you still have a name. Now, here's what happened. Number one, we found out that the enemy's always threatened by what he can't deny and what they can't explain. But number two, here's what happened in that threat. The threat drew them to their people. Don't miss this. When the threat came, God's people got together. Acts 4:23, and being let go, they went to their own companions. Somebody say, their people. Now say it out loud, say, their people. They went to their people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. First thing that happened was, when they got this threat and all these threats leveled against them, they ran to their people. They didn't run away from their people. They didn't isolate. They didn't say, well, I guess we'll just go it alone. I guess we'll try to figure it out. No, they went straight to their companions. They went straight to the same ones that they had been in that upper room with. They found the same people who that they had shared a shaking history. They had shared a blood-bought history. They had shared a Holy Ghost history. They shared a history together. See, the first principle that you've got to understand about fault line faith and aftershocks is this. Pressure doesn't just test your faith, it exposes your tribe. You missed it right there. I said, when you get under pressure, when hell starts breaking loose, you find out who your people are. Come on, you got them fair weather friends, and they'll hang with you when you're tiptoeing through the tulips. Come on, somebody. They'll hang with you when everything is going good. But when all hell starts breaking loose, when your children are struggling, when your marriage is on the rocks, when your money gets funny, when you got a bad doctor's report, when you're fighting battles on every side and struggling and in warfare, when the opposition rises and when the threat comes, when your family's struggling and you're just hanging on, you'll find out who your people are. You'll find out when the devil starts stuff in the nation, you'll find out who your people are. And fault line people run to power. Fault line people run to shaking, and they run toward each other, not away from each other. They run toward each other. Hell hates it, y'all, when we find ourselves together. Hell hates a church that gets together. See, the enemy knows if he can isolate you, he can neutralize you. Hear me. I'm glad today that I'm with my people. Tell your neighbors, say, I'm with my people today. Yeah, my people are so much more than a race. Y'all gonna get mad at me right now. My people are so much more than a culture. My people are so much more than a denomination. My people are so much more than a political agenda. My people are so much more than even the blood that runs through my veins. I got some of my old family that ain't my people, but I got in a room today where there is red, yellow, black, and white, where there is educated, where there is elite, where there are those that are struggling. I am with people who don't have a home and then came on a bus, and people who are blessed beyond measure, but we're all in the room together today, and we are with our people. Look down your row and say, you my people. Y'all don't want to help me. Say you my people. Yeah, yeah. If I'm struggling, I got to get with my people. I dare somebody right now who's glad to be with your people, open up your mouth and give God a praise. No, I'm going to give you about 20 seconds to give God praise. Well, where's the South Carolina folk at? All the South Carolina, are the South Carolina folk in the room? Wave at me if you're from South Carolina. Okay, there they are. Everybody, that's my people. Somebody give the South Carolina folks, there's our people. Hallelujah. Look across the room. These are your people. These are eternal relationships, connected by the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. I have people. Tell somebody, I have people. Aftershocks don't happen in individuals or in one place. Fault lines run through community. Come on now. It doesn't stop in one place. So the enemy's first move in every great move of God, anywhere God is moving, is always to isolate people. He wants to isolate people in this church, introduce offense. He wants to rouse up suspicion. He wants to create division. But I have a word for the enemy. You've miscalculated. I'll say it again. I said the devil miscalculated. He underestimated us. The threat over these last several years was meant to scatter us, but what has happened is it's driven us together. The pressure was supposed to silence us, but it actually filled the room with praise and worship and people who love the Lord. The agenda of hell was supposed to divide the people, but the shaking took place, and here we are together. And here's what I'm glad of. Hell's agenda didn't break us. It gathered us. You missed an amazing place to stop and give God praise that the shaking did not break us. It gathered us. Take that, devil. Hallelujah. And I say in America, let the real church rise up. God, unify your people. Number three, aftershock shaking releases boldness. That means in environments where the Holy Spirit is moving, people get bold. Verse 29, now look, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. I want you to feel the weight right there. I want you to feel the weight, precious, of that supernatural prayer. Young person, that is a radical prayer. They've basically been threatened. And here's what they pray. They pray, Lord, make us bold. They're not asking God to remove the threat. They're not asking God to remove the threat. They're not asking God for an exit strategy. They're not asking God for protection. They're not asking God for a softer political climate. Come on now. They're not asking God for things to be easy. They're not asking for an easier road. Oh, Jesus. They're not asking for less opposition. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? They laid that threat before the Lord and they said, look on their threats. They laid that threat before the Lord, and they asked God for one thing, and this is what the church needs. They said, Lord, give us more boldness. Not less boldness, give us more boldness. Not less threat, but more boldness. Not less threat, but more boldness. The enemy has always raged. The enemy has always had agendas. The enemy has always fought the plan of God, and he will fight it until the end of time. But when you remain in proximity to the fault line, you don't sit around and say, I'm afraid, but you say, God, give me more boldness. Somebody who wants more boldness, open up your mouth and give God praise, like we are a bold church. The fault line produces bold, radical believers, not arrogance, not recklessness, not pride, but boldness. And it's time, somebody say, it's time. It's time for a God-breathed, spirit-soaked fearlessness that looks at the organized resistance of hell and declares, you do not have enough authority to shut this down. I am so ready to let every demon and every devil and every hellish agenda know that wants to shut down the church in America and shut down the preachers in America. Devil, you do not have enough authority to church, shut the church down. You don't have enough authority to silence radical spirit-filled believers. You may think you've got power, but I remember Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I wonder if there's anybody in the room right now who knows that the devil, the demons, and the agendas of hell does not have the authority to shut down the church. If that's you, open up your mouth and praise him like you are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. 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 Give us more boldness, Lord. My God, I feel that. I'm sorry, I just scared somebody. That's okay. I'm excited about him. I'm excited about boldness. I want somebody who wants more boldness, just wave at me right now. I want more boldness. What I know about shaking is this. I've been doing this a long time. What I know about shaking is this. Once you've truly been shaken, once the Holy Ghost has moved through your life, once you've encountered him, some things shake loose that will never be reattached again. Things shake loose. How many of you are ready for some things to shake loose? Okay, that's about 30% of you. I said, how many of you are ready to see some things shake loose in your family? Okay, I'm going to let your shout be the clue that you're serious about it. How many of you are ready for some things to shake loose? Okay. So get ready. I'm about to take you on a little mini journey. Number one, I believe when the Holy Ghost shakes, fear shakes loose. When you've stood in the presence of a God who raised Jesus from the dead, what in the world are you afraid of? What exactly are you in fear of? What does any man have to say to us? There's not a system that can shut us down. There's not a government that can keep us quiet. Well, what in the world can a government do to Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Priests, Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and his church? So fear shakes off. Somebody just shake it right now. You're shaking fear out of your life. Come on. Doubt, fear, negativity, shake it off. So number two, pride shakes loose. Whew. I've had all I can stand of strutting preachers and empty altars. I'm not impressed by that anymore. Pride shakes loose. Let me tell you something. The earthquake and the shaking is not impressed with our reputation. The Holy Ghost does not negotiate with your image. Oh, Jesus. It's quiet in here now. I need to tell preachers that are watching me, the Holy Spirit does not negotiate with your image. The carefully constructed, controlled, respectable version of you can get messed up. When the Holy Spirit begins to move, I'm telling you, when churches really experience the power of God, sometimes the service will get disrupted. Sometimes things will happen that you don't have an explanation for. I'm ready for that kind of move. I know you feel like you got to watch your image. I know you feel like I got to be careful, but I'm gathered with some people who don't care anymore about their image. They need an encounter with a God that can shift everything. And God does not move in passive, predictable environments. God moves in desperation. I'll tell you what else shifts, shakes off man-pleasing. Ooh, golly, somebody's hiney got so tight just then. You ever had your hiney get tied in church? Somebody just drew right up because you're so worried about what people think. You're so worried about what people say. So worried about what your companions think. Let me tell you, man-pleasing will shake loose from you. It shook loose from me. I'll tell you that right now. I graduated from the university of I don't give a rip. Can I get a witness up in here? I'm too old to sit around worry about what people think. Who cares what people think about your worship? Who cares what people think about your praise? People look at you and they say, you go to that church? You go to that church? That rowdy church? Who cares if they say you've gone too far? David danced before the Lord with all his might. And Michael despised him from the window. And you know what David said? He said, girl, that's how he said it. He said, girl, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm not calibrating my praise for your comfort. I'm not going to decide whether or not I'm going to praise the Lord based on what you think. You didn't call me out of the shepherd field. You didn't keep me alive when Saul was trying to kill me. And my praise ain't got one thing in the world to do with you. Sometimes I get emails, you know. Listen, I saw young people today. They had a conga line, and they were dancing all around, and they got in a conga line, and about 30 or 40 young people get a conga line all around the sanctuary, and people want to email me and say, did you not see the young people? You're in a conga line in the house of the Lord. Let me tell you, I would rather them dance in this house than dance at Razzle's. I'd rather them dance in this house than dance at the club. I'd rather them dance. Now, come on. I'm not going to contain. Be respectable. For people who don't want to be near the fault line, if you want to be near the fault line, open up your mouth and give God praise. Raise up your hands and say this after me. Say, I've been shaken. Come on, shout it out. Say, I've been shaken. And I am loose. I'm close to the fault line. And I'm ready for aftershocks. And from here on out, I cannot be quiet, contained, or full of dead man's religion. Y'all, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I want somebody that's ready for more. Open up your mouth and give God a shout of praise. All right, let me move. Number four, ain't this good? I said, isn't this good? Aftershocks produce cracks. And cracks create separation. All right, now I got quiet. Geologists will tell you that when a fault line activates, when the earth shifts, it produces cracks in the ground, separations, places where what's joined is now divided. It's part of the purpose of the shaking. And when the Holy Ghost moves and a real shaking hits the house, behaviors shake loose. Your nasty mouth. Oh, I cussed her out, but she had it coming. No, she liar, pants on fire. The compromises you managed, you can't manage anymore. Attitudes you maintain, and you had a comfortable arrangement with sin. Those things get broken. Lust gets dealt with. Pornography, it's quiet. Gossiping. Womanizing. Manonizing. I don't know what that is. Criticalness. God shaking doesn't negotiate with sin and compromise. It breaks it. The gray areas where you used to split the difference between the kingdom and the culture, you start drawing the line and say, there's some things I can't be a part of, some things I can't watch, some things I can't endure, some places I can't go. I'm going to keep preaching it, whether you say amen or not. The shaking demands clarity. And I'll tell you what the church needs. We need some clarity. I say shake your church with the move of God. Come on. And sometimes that shaking that creates those cracks, here's where it really gets intense. Sometimes the shaking separates people. Not everyone can handle earthquakes. Not everyone's going to want what you want. Not everyone wants a place where the shaking is happening and it's inspired by God's power. Some are comfortable with the theology of Pentecost as long as it stays theological. I go to denominational things sometimes and it is so dead I smell the embalming fluid when I walk through the door. Because you've got these men and these women in the building and they know much about Pentecost, but they don't know about the power of it, nor do they experience it. See, some are comfortable, like I said, with that theology, but they want it to stay theological. They celebrate the history of revival as long as it stays historical. But when the ground actually starts moving, when the Holy Spirit actually starts shaking, when he starts disrupting what's been comfortable, some people head for stable ground. And here's the word, if they leave you, if they shake loose, don't chase them. God, I'm preaching right now. I got the 10th spiritual gift. I got the gift of goodbye. I got the gift of see you later, alligator, in a while, crocodile. If you can leave me because I want the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to go, because there are some people, when the Holy Spirit comes in and starts disrupting the comfortable, they head for stable ground. But I'm telling you, don't chase them. Don't compromise your proximity to the fault line and the move of God to maintain relationships built on the premise that you would stay a safe distance from God. You need to let them know, this is what I'm after. I'm after a sacred. Let me tell you something. Some separations are sacred. If God separated them, let them go. Good God Almighty. Look at your neighbor and set somebody free. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Some separations are sacred. If God separated them, let them go. Give God a praise. Some cracks in the relational ground that you've been dealing with are actually the signature of the Holy Ghost at work in your life. I'm going to say that again. Some of the cracks that you've been dealing with in the relational ground of your life, they're actually the signature of the Holy Spirit. That's what a genuine move of God will produce. The shaking, real shaking, will shake what needs to be shook loose. You're different, y'all. You hunger for the move of God. You hunger for the things of God. And this needs to be the cry of the early church, and this is the fifth point. This is where I'm going to try to start landing this plane. But we're going to shout a little bit, maybe. But the fifth cry, the fifth point is a cry. And it says this, Lord, shake us again. I thought by now you might be tracking with me. Somebody say, Lord, shake us again. Ask everybody on your row, say, did you just say that? Yeah. And I need everybody that's interested in it, say it right now. Say, Lord, shake us again. There they were. When they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. This is Acts 4. It's already happened in Acts 2. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word with boldness. The house was shaken. Don't miss it. They were already fire baptized in Acts 2. They'd already seen thousands saved. They had already seen a 40-year-old man, lame man walk, and they got to the fault line and they got filled again and they shook again and the place shook again. It wasn't an initial shaking. It wasn't the first one. It was the second one. And let me tell you something. This is the most important part of this whole message, because you can be a Pentecostal person living on Pentecostal memories. You can be caught up in what God used to do. You can have a theology of the upper room and none of the fire in it. You can know Acts 2 happened but be miles from the fault line. But God is still shaking. 2,000 years later, he's still shaking, and he's looking for a people who will not just say it but pray it, who will say it and pray it and declare it the same thing they prayed in the book of Acts. And it is dangerous. It is this: shake us again. I want about 1,000 people, maybe not everybody, but I want the most radical people in the church to stand on your feet right now and raise up your hands. Am I preaching to a museum today? I said, am I preaching to a museum today? Am I just delivering a history message? Is there more than a history message being taught right now? Somebody raise up your hands and say, Lord, shake us again. I need a desperation. I need some in this monitor. I'm struggling up here. Give me some in this monitor. I want you to raise up your hands. And I want you to say it like you mean it. Say it in complete desperation. Say, Lord, shake us again. Shake us till the lost are found. Shake us till miracles manifest. Power is returning, not just strategy. I prophesy that power is returning to the church. Not just eloquence, not just programs, but power. My God, my God, my God. Shake the fear loose. Shake the pride loose. Shake the agendas loose. Shake the compromise loose. Shake the man-pleasing loose. Shake the distance loose. Shake us again. Somebody give God praise. Tell your neighbor, say, I need about 30 seconds to give God praise, because I believe that he's shaking my life. He's shaking my family. He's shaking my circumstances. Somebody ought to just shake off what's been trying to develop in your life. Shake off agendas. Hallelujah. Do you believe in the earthquake? Do you believe in Acts chapter 2? Who believes in aftershocks? Open up your mouth and give God a praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I feel like I'm standing on a fault line today. I said, I feel like I'm standing on a fault line today. And we're about to have aftershocks like we've never seen in the next season at Calvary. The spiritual ground is moving. God is shaking us again. We're going to build this church on the fault line. The culture has tried to say we're irrelevant. The culture wants us quiet. But we're shaking again. The agendas of hell are strong, y'all. Bold. Gender confusion. All of the agendas of hell. Racism, murder, immorality, unrighteousness. The agendas of hell are strong. The resistance is real. But we're shaking again. Your family might be in the valley, but we're shaking again. Prodigals are about to smell the Father's house. Y'all don't want to help me. I said prodigals are about to smell the Father's house. Depression tried to bury you, but we're shaking again. The agenda of hell tried to distract you. Discouragement and betrayal tried to move you out of God's will. But you're shaking again. Some of the things you got to be shook from is a wrong way of thinking. Some of you, your greatest enemy is between your ears. And you can't blame nobody but yourself. And you worry more than you trust. Shake your head right now. Just shake it. Say, get out of my head. Fear, get out of my head. Doubt, get out of my head. Come on. You don't want nobody to see you shaking your head. I dare you to just shake your head right now. Just get a little radical with it. Not this little cute little. No, shake it like you're trying to get it out. Just say, shake that out of my mind. Power is returning to the church. Purpose is clarifying. And I want to tell you, the epicenter has not moved. It's still Jerusalem. All of what we are is linked back to that initial epicenter. All these campuses that we are starting and building, all these things that we are doing, may I be transparent with you? Will you love me if I just tell the truth about me? I don't have time for drama. I don't have time. Can I find anybody that's like me? I don't have time for drama. I don't have time for spiritual people who are more like leeches, who won't come in and say, Lord, shake me. And I'm not, listen, I'm gonna raise up in Jesus' name, Dawn and I, we know our mission is to raise up babies and see them mature. We're a discipling church. That's a great priority. But if you've been saved 25 years, and I gotta part your mustache to get the bottle in your mouth, you wearing me out. I'm just gonna tell you the truth. Y'all still love me? I don't have the bandwidth for it anymore. I don't have the time to run around making sure. You know, he didn't shake my hand. I went to his church. He had people stand around him. He didn't shake my hand. Everybody put your hand out. Shake right there. You just shook hands with the pastor. Are you shaking hands? Is your hand shaking? My hand's shaking too. So we all just shook hands together. You see, out of all them people at the end of the service, he shook hands with me. I sure did. Those things are irrelevant. Okay? Our cry has got to be, God, let this house be full of aftershocks. If you hadn't shook my hand, you won't shake my hand. Come back there and you can shake my hand and get a cookie. I love you to pieces, and me and you've been talking about this. I'm just tired of drama, and I'm not gonna have it anymore. And if the shaking cracks the ground and some people leave, I wish you'd stay, but I'm not going to change. Oh, I left Calvary because I wasn't getting fed. I got thousands of people who listen every week, and they all love what's on the menu. I'm not changing the menu just because you don't like what I serve. Listen, you can get ice cream anywhere, but there's sometimes you need more than ice cream. You need what you got this morning. That was steak. That was protein. I love you so much. I tell you, and I do everything I can to show you, you are precious to me. The pastors that I lead and the campuses that I lead mean so much to me. But I'm not going to recalibrate who God has called our churches to be and make people think that we will ever be less than we are. We're going to be more. We are not building a single part of our church that is distant from the Holy Spirit. We are building our churches on the fault line. Your row is a fault line row. You're standing in a fault line church. There are aftershocks that we pray and we fast for. Environments like this don't just manifest casually. The freedom that you feel when you come into this church, it's because we are a fault line church. And there are some of you here today, and I love you to pieces, but you're struggling in your walk with the Lord. I don't want anybody to leave because there again, we get so concerned about being first to the parking lot, and we're trying to get to Cracker Barrel. Well, Riverbend's already beat us there. Tomoka's there. We love any churches that preach Jesus, but they're probably already there. So let them kind of move through, and then you'll get a seat a little bit quicker. Come on. I'm helping you today. We run out when God has run in. Isn't it amazing that we have environments like this where God is saving? God's going to save some people in just a minute. And we are so busy that we have to run out when God has run in. What's more important than somebody giving their life to the Lord? I bless you at the end of every service, but yet I got to run out. Well, if somebody's going to bless me that has authority, I'm going to stay there and I'm going to receive it. I'm just trying to help you now. In this room, there are all kind of people. There's people who are struggling, and there's people who need a touch from God. There's people here today and sin has ravaged their life. They're not where they need to be with the Lord, and they know it. You may be here today and you're struggling in your walk, and you'd say, Jim Raley, there's sin in my life, and I want to get it right. I don't want to leave here the way I came, with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're in this room and you would say, Jim Raley, pray for me, because there's sin in my life. I don't know that I'm ready to meet the Holy Spirit. I don't know that I'm ready to meet the Lord. I want to make sure that today I put it all under the blood. I'm a sinner, or there's sin that's ravaged my life. And today I want to get it under the blood and I want to get free. And if you're praying for somebody, Jim Raley, pray for me. If you're not where you need to be with God and there's sin in your life, or you're a practicing sinner, and you would say, when you pray, Jim Raley, I'm not trying to embarrass you, pray for me. When I count to three, slip up your hands. Pray for me. One, I'm not where I need to be. Two, if you remember anybody, remember me. Three, slip your hand right up. Hands across the room. Pray for me if you're going to pray. Oh, I see him now. I see him coming up across the room. Come on, hold that hand up. Hold it up. It's a good day to get it right. I'm going to lend you five more seconds. If you need to raise your hands, if you raise it up, keep it up. Five, four, three. Hands are still being raised. Two, one, zero. Now, if you raise that hand up, just keep it held up for just a minute. You didn't raise that for a man. You raised it for a transformation. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to make a step and come right here to the front. I promise you won't come by yourself. I want you, if somebody next to you, listen, if somebody next to you is raise their hand, you move back and you make room for them to come down. If they won't come by themselves, you get them by the hand and you come with them. But for everyone who raised their hands, this is the moment. This is the moment, Jesus. Oh, look, look. Now listen, God walked in and people are coming up. Hallelujah. Look, come on. Come on, look, look. Didn't you just preach on the Holy Spirit? Yeah, this is what happens in environments of shaking. Come on, young man. Come on. I need a husband to grab your wife. I want you to come. Come on, y'all keep clapping, they'll keep moving. This is an altar call. I feel like there's about four or five, maybe eight more people. That's it. Come on. I'm going to wait. God will shake the addiction off of you today. Come on, come on, come on. 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 This is your moment. This is your moment. Here we go. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. This is your moment. I want everybody to take your hand and place it over your heart. Can I have leaders that would help me, please? I need all my altar workers, but this is such a great big altar call. How wonderful is this? It's the best thing I've seen in a long time. I like you. What's your name? That's a beautiful name. You're so pretty. It means, okay, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. What'd you say your name was? Daquiana. And she said it means great warrior is what her name means. I'm going to talk to you like I'm talking to one of my children, okay? You need it, don't you? You need somebody to speak into your life. I feel like you came desperate today. She said, I am desperate. Your name means great warrior, but you feel like you've been losing the fight. She said, I feel like I'm weak. But you're about to turn your whole world around. Look at the Lord. And what you've got to understand is, love, this is not the end of a thing. This is the beginning. So the decisions that you've made and the company that you've kept, I'm talking to you like you're one of my kids, okay? You receive it like a dad? Okay. She said, yes, sir. I'm going to talk to you like you're one of my children. So the decisions that you've made and the company that you've kept has got you to where you are. Right? I think I just pulled up into your house and we're going to talk for a second. You got to separate from some relationships. She said, I'm going through a divorce right now. God knows what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit isn't guessing. Yeah, it's torn your life up. Today is your new beginning. Okay. Hey, we are your people. You mess right around, you got with your people today. Ain't that good news? How old are you? 24. Girl, you're just getting going. 24? You kidding? You kidding me? You got so much life to live. You're going to live out your name, Mighty Warrior. God will take that name and then he'll give you that nature. So you just get ready. Okay, everybody take your hand. Look at young men right here. Proud of y'all. Okay, we're going to pray this prayer. Put your hand on your heart right now. Okay. This is a part of ourselves. We're going to surrender to the Lord. How you, darling? Good to see you. Okay, sir. How you doing, young man? I like your hair. All them dreads. There comes a point where you better be glad. You too. Y'all got all that hair. You know what I do with my hair? Sometimes I don't feel like I comb it. Sometimes I feel like I rearrange it. Can I get a witness? I just move it around my head. Today it's going to be so real. And I want this to be real for you, Mama. Hand on your heart. Raise your other hand. Oh, I feel something real special right here on you, okay? Here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to get some hope today. You need that, don't you? Oh, Lord, just get ready, daughter. You believe in courage today. You ready? Say, in Jesus' name, I come to your Father, and I ask you, please forgive me for all my sins. I've made decisions and done things that I shouldn't have done. And it's made my life not what it needs to be. So I repent, and I'm asking you for a brand new beginning. My sin is covered. My past is behind me. My future is bright. In Jesus' name. Now I want all the altar workers to move toward these right here. And you stretch your hands out, and then I'm going to bless you. We bless these. I want you altar workers to get their information, move in and pray. Everybody find somebody now. So stretch your hands toward them. We declare that this thing is real. We declare, hallelujah. Cindy, come here, honey. I want you to come right here with these ladies. Just make sure everybody's got somebody that you talk to. Hallelujah. I bless you guys, and I declare this is a brand new beginning and a brand new start. Hallelujah. I need some of my ladies that can help me find a lady up here and pray with them. So many girls here. We declare that this is a new beginning for you, and you will never, ever be the same again. All right, you guys talk. The rest of you slip up your hands, and I want to bless you. Are you glad to be in a fault line church? Give God praise if you received all day long. All right, I'm going to sing over you. Ready? The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and keep you. Now, raise up two hands if you're going to receive it. Come on, I'm singing it over you. Lord bless and keep you, make his face shine upon and be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you. I'm going to sing it the last time, and then our team will come up and sing it. The Lord bless you. Speak this over your week.
Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord turn his face toward you. And the Lord give you peace. Our team will sing that as you go. Stop by in the back. connect with us. Give God praise for a great day. Will you do it? Amen. Sing.
The Lord bless you.